When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're just going to do a little brain dump of stuff that we.
What a nice term.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, visually, that turned me on, yeah.
Stuff that you all should hear ZD talking outside the podcast.
I'm absolutely eloquent.
Yes. Things that we use for sewing that are not originally meant for sewing.
They're not sewing specific.
Not sewing specific. Maybe you wouldn't like find them in your sewing store necessarily, except, you know, on our sewing store online.
You know, the one thing that we use, okay. Uh-huh. That was not sewing specific is the medical
tracing
exam
paper.
It's for the exam table, right? It was called medical exam paper, and we used to actually at the store. I used to order it from a medical supply company.
Yeah,
and then of course all of the notions companies. You know,
right.
Got onto the fact that the stores were buying something not from them.
Yeah.
And then finally they started stocking
it. Yeah, so it's gone a little mainstream now.
Right.
Tracing paper.
Well, what I'm talking about is like 15, 20 years ago when we were buying it from the medical companies.
So we may mention a few things that now have gone mainstream, but ZD was one of the pioneers.
But you said was not originally used.
You know, a lot of things, medical. That seems to be
because they're
trend.
Instruments. Mm-hmm. Like the seam ripper.
Yeah,
that's a scalpel, everybody.
Scalpel, seam ripper.
That is a scalpel.
You know, all the nurses are like, what size blade is that? I'll steal those from work. You know.
Yeah.
Hemostats.
Hemostats or pickups or what. Yeah.
Hemostats. Talk about hemostats, yeah.
Hemostats are the things that sort of, they look like pliers, but they're really a clamp. And, of course, you can clamp them down. There's some way of securing them.
Hemostat
means to stop blood.
Yeah, so how do you use those in the medical field?
Well, you put them on that, you know, wildly bleeding vessel and you clamp it off.
Okay.
And they're used for other things, too, to hold other things.
So they are, though.
But hemo means blood and stat means to stop or make, you know, stasis.
Right.
So they were to stop bleeders during surgery.
So they really are a clamp.
They are a clamp, yes.
The way I've used hemostats the most often in sewing is to get a needle through something that's difficult to get it through.
And actually,
how do you use
it? There are things called needle holders that aren't hemostats. And needle holders look like hemostats, only they've got a much, much shorter clamping area. They're tinier. So if you see those little tiny thing, those might sometimes are referred to as needle holders, and those will be in a suture kit.
And you're saying needle holder,
right?
In the medical sense as well,
have to. And I don't know if anybody has seen sutures or how they come packaged or anything, but they're on a curved needle.
Uh-huh.
So you take that hemostat or needle holder, right?
Yeah.
And you hold on to the end of that, and because of course it's much easier than holding it with your hand, and you know your hand won't slip and you've got gloves on and all that, so that needle holder allows you to be much more precise with putting that that curved needle through the tissue.
So tell me about one time you've used hemostats. I have an example for me. If you don't have...
Well, I used one last week to pull a drawstring back through your dad's swim pants.
Oh, well, that's a good use for it.
I mean, I use it constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, constantly, this went back, it went in the laundry, you know.
I remember using it to bead a pair of shoes.
Yes, I've done that too.
Did I Did you bead Lindsay's shoes?
I beaded Lindsay's prom shoes, yes.
Whose shoes did I bead?
I don't. Oh, you beaded Hillary's wedding ballets.
No, but I beaded a pair of shoes that were hard that I had to use a hemostat on.
But you did her ballet shoes, too.
No, I know, but now I can't remember what shoes those were.
Well, I don't know.
Because you did Lindsay's, because weren't Lindsay's shoes.
No, they weren't. Yeah.
So I, what Mom and I were talking about, and this was the perfect era for beading shoes, like the 90s. When you had, or the early 2000s, when you had these heels with these kind of like wide straps over the top of the foot, they were perfect for putting fabric on, weren't they?
Right. I put a lot of fabric on a lot of shoes.
And like kind of the clunky heel that time period too. Perfect for covering with fabric. It was a wonderful time.
Well, shoes are easy to cover.
They
if
are.
If anybody ever wants to try it, they're easy to cover.
But yeah, so I was beading, and I, like I said, now I can't remember what the heck pair of shoes I was beading.
Well, maybe it will come to you.
I don't know.
That's another thing that we use in beading, you know, is those. I think they look like little oyster dishes, the beading dishes with the little, sections in them.
Right, right. Yeah. In beading.
And then what do we keep them in?
A gun case.
Right, because the foam holds it down.
Okay, so like number two or three, whatever we're on here. Yeah, gun case for beading. And I used to carry one of these around. We were way into beading.
I'm still into it.
But like we were into it a lot for a while.
I think what happened is I really wanted to know how to do it. No one was really doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I had to do like, and at the time, the only place I could find where people were beading was like what... the American Indians were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was it. Like, there was, like, people weren't beading on quilts and beading on, by hand, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, or I guess what I'm saying is there was no literature about it.
Yeah, it was hard to find.
So I was trying to figure out, like, what threads to use and what needles to use and, what kind of beads.
Or you sold beads, like, a long time ago at the shop.
And the accessories, right. And then all of a sudden, well, here's what happens, small shop, you're selling beads, you're selling the implements or the
tools.
Associated tools and notions to do it. And then all of a sudden something catches on and Walmart's selling it, so you can't sell it for the same price Walmart does. So
these gun cases, they have foam in them, and they don't have like a cutout for the gun. They're just straight foam.
Well, and some don't.
The ones we were using. And so we have these beading dishes, and you could just leave your beads
in that little dish.
And then you shut your foam gun case.
Right.
And
I would put a piece of cotton,
and
a lot of times that's what I would put my needles in that I had threaded to.
So then it would hold all the beads in place. You could pick it up and go with it. And yeah, I remember being way into it for a while, like doing lots and lots of beading.
Right.
That I don't do quite as often anymore.
If you remember your sister's wedding, the entire thing was beaded.
Tons of beading.
Right.
Gun cases are really nice. What else?
Well, if we're in the medical game,
medical gun.
Okay,
whatever.
I don't know how this got started, but I got started with an IV pole.
This is...
I think I got it from... I worked in a pharmacy, and I think I wound up bringing one home. When I say a pharmacy, it was a pharmacy, and we, as a nurse, I did... I worked in this pharmacy as the person that went out and basically peddled the drugs to the nursing homes and all the places, and I did, in-service teaching and things like that. And they had this sort of lame IV pole left over. And I brought it home, and it was wonderful because I could hang something on it and move it around. And
you could just wheel around the dress, whatever. You can adjust
and
the height.
And I was working with a bunch of boas one time, and I had the boas all over the IV pole.
The IV pole has guest starred in some of my live broadcasts.
That's right.
And everybody's like, is that an IV pole?
Yes,
and they're like,
is.
That is genius. So we've got one. We got two IV poles, right? And
we better have three.
We have three? I'm trying to look around and count them.
I think there's one at the shop and two here.
Yeah, so we've got...
Because what happened was Donna ordered me IV poles when I made her daughter's wedding dress. That was her gift to me.
She ordered you. So you can hang your stuff on there. You can adjust the height. It can roll around really easily. It's almost like it's a clothing rack.
except it's not, the clothing rack often leaves the dress or the garment inaccessible to you because it's sideways and not where the IV pole you can make it any height. So if it's a long garment, you know, a lot of wedding dresses got bustled off of IV poles.
Yeah, so the IV pole, it's, if you don't know what one looks like, you know, if you've never watched like a medical show or something, it goes straight up and it has these two little arms kind of coming off the top.
Two little hooks.
So you don't have, like Mom said, like on a clothing rack, you've got the legs of the rack kind of around the clothing, whereas this leaves one side of the dress or the skirt or the pants or whatever exposed, and it's really nice.
And it's on wheels.
Yeah, and it's on wheels. And it's on a nice steady base.
Right.
Even though you do have to be careful when you put a really heavy dress on the IV
pole. You can't overload one side or the other.
It can tip over, so that's nice. Now, other things you use for hanging, you have these big old hooks in the ceiling here.
Right. I call that a bicycle hook because, like, that's what you would put in your garage if you hung your bicycle up.
So if you hang your bike up in your garage, you've got this, like, metal hook that's encased in like a plastic coating.
It's like rubberized or plastic or something
You can hang your bike there, but Mom hangs, you know, clothing.
Right. A lot of times, again, big garments like wedding dresses or gowns or something where I'm working on the hem or the back or something like that.
Or
cutting the hem of a tulle dress because you need it to be level. You know, and I would cut it eye level.
And you also, when you cut a dress on the bias or a skirt on the bias that hang like overnight, so it's nice to let it hang, not like up against a door or something.
Right, it's really nice to have it hanging freely.
Freely.
Right.
Before we take our break, I think one last funny thing that we've used for rolls of like stabilizer is a wine rack.
That's right.
Or a shoe. That was like a shoe organizer.
We've had a shoe rack, shoe organizer, wine rack. We've used the over-the-door shoe things.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah.
But the wine rack really can make your stabilizer situation look very festive. And it's like we had like a metal one, you know, that
it was like an accordion.
Yeah, and it looked really good. I loved that. So if you got old wine rack around, that's what you can use it for, okay?
That's right.
All right, so let's take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk about more non-traditional sewing implements. All right, Mom, we're big thread sticklers, aren't we?
Yes, thread snobs, I would call us.
I wrote a blog post a couple years ago that said, don't put crappy thread in your sewing machine or your serger, and I felt really brave, but you know that I was using the word crappy online.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we are very particular about our sergers as well.
Absolutely.
So it would only seem natural that we're particular about our serger thread.
Absolutely.
So we carry the Madeira AeroLock serger thread on our website.
It's a two-ply polyester. It has a minimum amount of binding
agent,
which is the glue that they hold all these fibers with, and it is a long fibered thread. So you have, you know, less glue and less fuzz going through your machine and winding up in your project.
Absolutely. So it keeps your nice expensive serger cleaner,
longer,
keeps your project intact longer.
And looking very pristine, might I add.
Absolutely. And it comes in 48 colors.
Right.
So take your pick. And normally it is $5.99 for a 2,300 meter spool. And if you go to sewhere.com/serger thread, you'll see all 48 colors of Madeira AeroLock serger thread. And you can use the code SERGE, S-E-R-G-E, at checkout for 20% off your purchase of Madeira AeroLock serger thread.
So long and so happy.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Are you writing down some more? Well, you got some more ideas? I've got a few. Go ahead.
I have sewed so long that I've actually used to use things that were non-sewing that don't even exist anymore. Like a little film canister for 35 millimeter, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
For a 35 millimeter little can of film, you
right.
had it, right?
And right.
So it was what? An inch and a half high and like an inch round or whatever. Like, and it was a little cylinder, and it had a top on it.
Uh-huh.
And that was my Sharps container.
No, kids don't even know what film canisters
are. Right, that was my, kind of like a pill bottle almost, well, only shorter, I guess.
And I know that film is still used by some people today, of
right.
course, but not in the ways that
right.
it used to be used. No
right.
one comes home from family vacation is
with
like,
film
God,
canisters.
I take this to the
that's right.
drugstore to get it developed. No, he's sharing stuff on their phone, right?
But that was my Sharps container for my, you know, machine needles that when they, you know, were dead or bad or whatever.
Absolutely. Now, the one thing I have on here that somebody might be like, well, that's not very special, is a hammer, okay?
Oh. Well, but there's all kinds of hammers.
Yeah, there are all kinds of hammers. And I think that if you don't have a hammer in your sewing room, you need one for your sewing room. So you might be like, well, yeah, I got a hammer. But, you know, if it's got a bunch
right.
of crap all over it,
right.
maybe you don't want to use it on those jeans
right.
that you're working on or on that, right, that beaded fabric.
That's right.
If people don't know what I'm talking about, go back, listen to the podcast about how to sew on beaded fabric.
Well, and the one kind of hammer that I like that
yeah.
we have is a hammer that has shot in the head of it. So
uh-huh.
that's the weight of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a mallet, basically. So mallets are nice.
There's this one hammer that our tech used to use that was like, what was that? It was like plastic. It was like a mallet.
That's what my mallet is with the shot hand. Right, with the shot in the head of it.
Is that? No, not that one.
Oh, just the mallet? Yeah, the plastic.
It's clear. Yeah, it's like a plastic mallet, and it's
right.
nice and gentle.
We still have those, yes.
Yeah, yet strong enough. So, yeah, don't, like, limit yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess if I went over and looked at my toolbox right now, I would find, like, four or five hammers.
Oh, different hammers,
and
yeah.
that doesn't count the hammers I have, like, on top of the counters
And
here.
When people are encountering thicknesses in jeans or bag sewing,
right.
You should really consider
hammering down
it.
That.
Just a couple times can make
right.
such a huge
and,
difference.
And that's why I like a mallet, though, too.
Yeah, bigger.
Versus the big metal, you know, you uh-huh. have, first of all, you have a better surface area.
Right, right.
And it's flatter.
So the mallet allows
right.
you to go along the whole seam and not be so focused.
Right.
And it doesn't take much.
Right.
You know, you don't want to, like, overdo it and flatten out your whatever too much, you know, but
you don't want to smush it.
Yeah, you don't want to distort whatever you're doing. Now, I have PVC pipe on here. I'm gonna let you take that away.
The one thing that I've really used PVC pipe for is used it as a turning tool with huge things that, like, the lion's tail for the Lion and the Wizard of Oz,
right?
Okay, so I use the broom handle and a PVC pipe as a turning tool. So if nobody can figure that out, I guess we can make a video
yeah,
on that someday.
Yeah, if you have a turn-it-all
right.
toolkit, that and we sell that online, actually, the turn-it-all uses, it's got like three different sizes of
right.
tubes and rods,
right?
Basically, that you can use. But you need a really, really, really big one
right.
for the gigantic lion's tail. From the Wizard of Oz. And so, we have that that big PVC pipe and the dowel rod. And then we made a little tube that so we can show it off.
That's right. That's
made
right.
a little tube of fabric so people can understand what the hell we're talking about with that. Okay.
Well, another thing we have,
uh-huh.
and this goes back to the beads, and I meant to say it and I skipped, is the tackle boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, you know, that we need to put.
Hey, tell everybody how you're a criminal.
Oh,
tell
I
them your klepto story.
Am I a
Do
criminal?
Not,
I don't remember
I'll tell
being
them.
A criminal.
I'll tell them. So one time.
You might be lying because
no,
I don't remember
it's
this.
Real. It's real. Yeah. So it used to be that tackle boxes, I mean, they were in the fishing section and there were no, like.
Right.
It was not. So it's
they
more common
They weren't in
now.
The craft section.
They weren't in the craft right. section. And
they
now
were truly fishing tackle boxes.
No, you told me the story where you were at Walmart one time and you got your special tackle box for the show choir emergency kit. And I remember this thing, it rolled. But you wanted to see if a certain other tackle box would fit inside it. And then you told me that you accidentally bought and you only got charged for like the big tackle box.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
You probably stole like a 95 cent tackle box or something.
It's probably 59 cents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you know, you know, your dad built me a set of shelving for my tackle boxes, and maybe we should use that as our cover.
That's a really good one. So mom has all these tackle boxes for the beads, and they're just the one-tiered, you know, tackle boxes with little sections. And so my dad made her a bead cabinet, and it's just like, it sort of looks like a bookshelf.
Right. It's a wooden column.
Yeah,
basically.
Wooden column that has all these little shelves in it, and all the beads go in there. Mom's got them labeled, and it's on wheels.
It's on casters, you're
right. You want, you know, our big thing about, if you ask us how you want your sewing room to be or what tips we have for organization.
You want it portable. You want it to move.
Mobile, right?
You never there's very few fixtures that you want stuck where, you know. Now, we do have ceiling hooks all over the place because sometimes we move stuff around and then we had to put in a new ceiling hook.
That's right. Well, the only thing in our sewing room right now that's totally stationary is this cutting table, really.
Well, it can still be moved.
Yeah, it can still be moved. It's not built in.
No, it's not built in, and we do not have built-in counters.
No, we don't have built-in counters. Now, some of these file cabinets can't roll, really.
Right.
You know, but they can be moved because you never know.
Well, when I say mobile, I mean, don't build it into the wall.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I have built in before in a room when I had a more limited space was I did build shelving into my closet. And it was a bedroom closet with a double door. And I took the doors off.
Uh-huh.
I used them as tabletops.
Uh-huh.
And I left the doors off the closet and shelved it.
Well, I think it's different to put shelves in a closet.
Right. But what I'm saying is I made it accessible.
Yeah. Because, you know
I didn't want those doors closing it off all the time.
If you put shelves in a closet, that's one thing. But if you take up a wall where, you know, maybe you want that to be like a design wall or
you just don't know. Yeah. Right. Well, we have, you know, we're limited with vertical space.
We are.
Because we have like a dormer side, you know, on our studio. So that makes a difference. But anyway, so tackle boxes. We all know those are good.
Absolutely.
The other thing I think that Mallory might not know that I've used before is a spoon. And I've used a spoon.
Did you dig someone's heart out with it?
Yeah, I cut your heart out with a spoon.
There you go.
But I've used a spoon to guide a needle and bring it back up.
That's awesome.
That shape will help you. And I usually keep like a flat, what we call butter knife or table knife.
Uh-huh.
I never know what I might use it for, but I might use it.
Does your spoon almost act, I don't know. Would it act kind of like a darning egg for you sometimes?
Yes, similar to that. Or if you're using something, you're trying to sew on the surface, there's something, and you can't get to the back of it.
Yeah, you got
to
come back up.
Right, you're trying to come back up, and you can use that spoon.
Darning eggs are something that I feel like I could, like, collect. Like, don't you think people made beautiful ones that were
well, everything used to be, right?
Like,
artisanal
or whatever.
Well, thimbles were the same way, needle cases.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I have one last contribution to this.
Yeah.
But if you've got more, we can keep going. Got paintbrush.
Well, makeup brushes.
Any kind of brush, right. Makeup brushes. And we really like to use those, a clean one that's not been used for paint or makeup, to clean out our sewing machines.
So you put the vacuum there and you're sort of whisking out the dirt.
I guess vacuum, you know, too.
That little brush that comes with your machine, it's pretty useless.
Yeah, I always say that to people.
The other thing that I have we have Old Spice racks.
Yes.
Where the spice bottles were held onto the little racks, and we've taken maybe the bottles off, and we have other things stuck in those.
Like
thread.
Film canisters.
Well, again, medication bottles, things like that work, of course.
Yeah, pill bottles are great. No, you can use...
low-tack tape. Everybody knows about low-tack tape.
That's the one thing I have written down here.
There's your painter's tape.
Yeah, painter's tape can be used for so many things. Once again...
Now, they will sell it to you. in a sewing store, and it might have like hash marks on it, sort of looks like you can measure with it or something like that. And it'll be very, very expensive, and you can buy that if you'd like, or you can go to the paint department and buy painter's tape.
Yeah, and so what painter's tape does is it's, like Mom said, low-tack tape, so it doesn't get too sticky. It's not permanent, right?
Well, and I guess what I would like to add here is I know people that use masking tape for things in their... Be real careful. Masking tape is not really meant to come off as easily.
Yeah.
So you can put it on, if you put it on your fabric or you put it on something, it will leave adhesive behind.
That's a really good
and the
point.
Right. And the reason to use the low tack tape is it doesn't leave the adhesive behind.
Yeah. If you want to put a special mark.
Cellophane tape, all those other tapes, because they're not low tack tapes,
right,
will leave adhesive behind. So you're trying not to leave adhesive behind.
Right. You don't want to, you know, those other tapes are trying to actually be tape, right?
That's, yeah, you know? Right. The low-tech tape's another thing I keep in my kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I use it all the time.
And the low-tech tape, we use it on fabric and on our machines and cutting tables
You can use it on the surface of your machine and not worry about it. You know, leaving that adhesive behind, and then you're trying to get it off, or
and if you ever have a fabric that's really hard to figure out which is the right side or the side you've chosen to use, I just put a piece of painter's tape on, you know, what is going to be my fashion side. I don't even write anything on it, really.
No, I don't either. I just know it's on the right
on
side.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Now, I may write something on it.
Sure.
If I have, say, a right front and a left front, and they're not like symmetrical
or something.
And I might put right front, left front, especially if, you know, when you turn them, you can't tell. But the other thing is if I'm sewing more than one garment, say I'm sewing one for you and one for me, and it's a costume and they're exactly the same. So I might have an M on all your pieces. And I might have a Z on all my pieces so that I don't sew my top to your bottom or something like that.
Absolutely. No, and
it's been done.
Mom probably passed this on to me big time because I'm a huge proponent of like writing all over your sewing projects.
That's right.
You know, make sure to label, whether permanently or temporarily. You know, when we're making the jeans and we use that waxy pencil, I'm like, write in huge letters that this is the right front, you know, and you know, this, and I say, it's like writing yourself a love note on your patterns.
You know, that's the other thing from the hunting fishing department or the whatever I just thought of is shot. And if people don't know what shot is, it's the stuff you put in your shotgun.
Yeah.
And they're little heavy metal pellets. So if you have something like your stuffing or you want to weight like a pincushion, you don't fill it all the way with the shot, but you put it in the bottom because it's going to dull your needles.
Right.
And then, you know, so but it can be used like in part of that pincushion to weight it down.
Or to act as a weight for things. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, you know, there are lots of other things. We could probably maybe do another episode once we get even more inspired to talk about all the stuff that we use. But does that kind of do it for you, Mom, in terms of...
I don't know. Should we... Are you taking a last look to see
if
there's anything?
Yeah, I'm gazing around the studio, you know.
Right.
Well, if you don't have anything else
I guess
to...
the other thing is templates for circles. You find them in your kitchen cabinet, probably.
Plates, coffee cans, all that kind of stuff.
Jars.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cans, whatever.
Well, we'd love to hear about non-sewing items that you use for sewing. You can tag us in a photo if you'd like.
I'll bet you anything. We've got a lot of people are going to tell us what they use for pattern weight.
Yes. So we're ZD Sewing Studio on Instagram. You can get a hold of me via email, Mallory@sewhere.com. And we're on Facebook as well in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group. So we'll see you all at various places around the interwebs. And thanks for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.